Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. As the first big wave of children diagnosed with autism-related disorders moves beyond high school, how are we prepared to move them into higher education or even jobs? Is it a matter of preparing the individuals, the workplace, or both? Questions for our listeners. If you want to call in, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. For you, have you ever hired someone who is autistic lives with something along the autism spectrum? Are you autistic or related to someone who is autistic who's found a job in the outside world? Give us a call. Share your story. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can post as well on our All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. Coming up later in the program, we're going to hear from an administrator at Marshall University in West Virginia, where they have established a training center for people on the autism spectrum. We'll also learn about a new company in Chicago where autism is a job requirement, and also a fledgling nonprofit venture in Central Ohio that aims to provide jobs for people along the spectrum. Right now, we welcome to the show Dr. Kristen Miller. She's principal of Oakland Academy, a charter school where students on the autism spectrum learn side by side with their neurotypical peers in the classroom. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you.
Oakland, but it's Oakstone. I apologize as soon as I read that. Oakstone Academy is known especially for its philosophy about inclusion. Why is that important?
Inclusion has so many names, but the most important part of inclusion, and basically starting as young as possible, is to allow students and individuals with autism to relate to peers, colleagues, family, siblings, and complete tasks in a natural environment, and not in a segregated environment, because that also then leads to learning the skill in the new environment with new people. So the most important part of inclusion is that you're learning how to interact with people and doing a skill at the same time.
How much does personal interaction and personal relationships figure into this equation of managing yourself in a workplace?
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. I think, obviously, there's certain jobs that are more isolated and than others, and there's some jobs that are more social, but you always need to report to a boss. There's many times you need to interact with people, even if it's via email or some sort of technology, so learning the appropriate scripts or terminologies or affect that you need to have, even in an isolated job, is important. But our number one struggle or challenge with individuals with autism is truly learning the social skill of learning to interact with the colleagues or a boss.
Now, kids in your school, they come from all walks of life?
Absolutely.
Do they have all levels of intellectual capabilities?
Yes.
So some are developmentally disabled, too?
Correct.
It's all along a range.
Correct.
How do you situate them in classrooms? How does that work? How do you not segregate them, but how do you organize them?
Right. Well, we have students that pretty much, like you mentioned, are developmentally disabled, and then we have students that academically score off the charts, that are scoring perfect on the ACT and SAT. It is a challenge to do the grouping and provide the services, and what we try to do is match their service, you know, the service they need in terms of what we feel they're going to do in the future, specifically at the high school level. We start that primarily when they're 14 to 16 years old, talking about what they're interested in, what might their job skill be, and we program, kind of set up a program for them in terms of their academics as well as like an internship. And then interestingly, after 18, or you can socially graduate, so you really have till the age of 21 to be prepared for a job.
Because of the way the federal laws is funded and that sort of a thing.
In Ohio.
Does the experience cost, well, the way you put it or the way I've read it is neurotypical peers. I guess, whatever euphemism you want to give, but does it cost the other kids anything in the educational process?
At our school, fiscally, I mean just financially?
In terms of what they get out of the experience themselves.
Right. Yeah, they do not pay to go to the school, just like a materials fee that the typical students. However, I do think they learn so much. There's so much more that you can learn from students with autism. They learn this acceptance. I mean, it can come down to civil rights issues, to actually coaching them and developing friendships so that students can move on with them in the future, even talking about going to college with them and rooming with them and those type of pieces. So they establish true friendships.
Do they tend to be siblings or relatives or someone who knows somebody who is autistic beforehand? Or what brings them to Oakstone?
Right. When Dr. Morrison, Becky Morrison, started the school, that's exactly the main peer base. I do think that's still a high percentage of the students that come to our school, but we do offer such a rigorous curriculum that we are able to have other students enroll just because they like our small teacher ratio in terms of the staff. We have very highly qualified personnel, you know, above and beyond what maybe a public school might be able to provide. So, you know, most of our kids are having Spanish since preschool. So there's a lot of pieces we're able to offer that might be more difficult for a public school.
My guest is Dr. Kristen Miller. She's principal of Oakstone Academy. It's a charter school where students on the autism spectrum learn side by side with their neurotypical peers. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you're somebody who employs people who are autistic, give us a call if you're autistic and have a job in the outside world and want to tell us your story. We'd love to hear from you as well, 614-292-8513. 8513. If you'd rather email, that's allsides@wosu.org. Either way, we'd love to hear your story. What have you learned about the range of skills for your students? I read a phrase, intrinsic abilities, that a lot of people along the autism spectrum possess. What are those intrinsic abilities that we hear so much about?
Well, just like everything else with children on the autism spectrum, they vary. But the intrinsic abilities vary from having very specific skill sets in terms of organization, memory, anything that might have a high interest that goes along with the diagnosis. So really a restricted repertoire and also a high interest area, and they become specialists in that area, which then hopefully will allow them, we can capitalize on that piece and allow them to succeed in that area.
How do you begin to identify those things in individuals, since it is so individualistic, and start to channel that energy and those abilities into something that, I don't know, it seems like as society evolves, in particular technological elements become more sophisticated, there are a lot more jobs out there. That seems to be, technology seems to be a place.
Yes.
To go.
Yes, absolutely. The process of just even letting the students explore usually takes at least a year. And we try to encourage the students to have a couple options. So even if they're completely set on one area, we always try to have a plan B and plan C. And then the next step would be to get them exposure to that workplace, because even though they might be have an interest in that area, it's a whole different ballgame when you're actually having to work or do it, you know, follow a certain task. So technology has been absolutely one of our most, highly interesting aspects that the students are very interested in exploring, especially video games, web page design, all sorts of angles for technology. They have a skill set.
What have you learned from teaching kids in this way about kids who are autistic or somewhere along the spectrum? What do you know about them from teaching them this way?
That the students are, there's a certain way that they learn that most students, now everyone's different, everyone's an individual. However, most like predictability. Most are visual. Some are auditory. They like to know what's going to happen, even if it's a checklist or something on their iPad or iTouch, you know, to let them know what's going to happen next, even little timers. They like to know who's going to be there. Anything that you can inform them. Surprises are typically not a good thing for individuals with autism. So that is usually the best the best way to teach them a new skill and help them maintain. Change in their schedule is difficult. That's actually a whole new skill set in itself, is teaching to cope with change. So if there's a fire drill, if there's a new employee at a work site, if you have a new product you're learning, introducing, anything like that, typically they're fine until you kind of throw the curveball.
We're going to, at the later on this hour, we're going to be speaking with somebody from Marshall University, mm-hmm. where they have a program especially for kids who go to school there who are autistic. And they also teach educators and family things as well. But it's a special program for the students there. How do you, or is there something that you do at Oakstone Academy to prepare kids for college?
Oh, yes, absolutely. One of the most important pieces that we've put in place for our students that are in our honors or advanced classes is a self-evaluation sheet. So that socially, that's probably their biggest struggle. Socially, they're able to self-identify, have you challenged, how many times have you challenged your professor or challenged your teacher? How is it appropriate way to ask the teacher or the professor a question? Have you finished your work? All those, they might seem simple, but really it can be 15 different simple items that have truly made our students successful. Many of them are taking college classes starting their junior year at Oakstone.
And that helps just to get that head start. Mm-hmm. Does for anybody. If
correct.
You can, and
yeah.
Not to mention the the price.
Absolutely.
614-292-8513. My guest is Dr. Kristen Miller. She's curriculum director at Oakstone Academy. It's a charter school. Laura from Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, I have a four-year-old daughter who has both autism and a developmental disability due to a chromosomal duplication, and she's currently attending another program in the area, and I wasn't sure if you encouraged any type of participation in a traditional school setting in life, meaning could she go from this other school directly into Oakstone, or would that impede her? Or would you encourage some participation in a public school prior to coming to Oakstone if she were to do that when she's older?
Depending on the program where she's attending, any services definitely are not going to hurt your daughter. The only overall suggestion would be not to have her in a segregated program. And what I mean by that is not necessarily not segregated in terms of other kids with disabilities, but just like on a one-on-one basis. I think what we have found is that at least at Oakstone, our students thrive being independent. And the students that struggle the most at Oakstone are the students that have developed a dependency on an adult at a young age. So that would really be the only piece where I would try to steer clear if I were you. But otherwise, public schools have wonderful preschool programs. The county has a wonderful preschool program. And getting someone as a teacher or a professional that's very knowledgeable about autism always helps.
Okay.
Thanks.
Wonderful.
Thanks for your call, Laura.
If I could, for one moment, I want to, in honor of all of us other autism mamas, rather than saying that someone is autistic, I would really encourage you to say that they have autism.
Yeah.
Because, when someone has cancer, we don't say they're cancerous.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out there and advocate for my little girl. But I appreciate you taking my call.
You're welcome. I know semantics matter a lot. I know that there's a way to say things, and I try my best, and sometimes I just forget. Mm-hmm. So I will try that, Laura, and thanks for your call.
Thank you so much.
You bet. 614-292-8513. When we return, we will continue our conversation. I want to thank Dr. Kristen Miller now for joining us for this segment. And she is the curriculum director at Oakstone Academy. And thanks again, Kristen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
When we return, we'll join Doug Sharp and Brenda Whiteberg. They have started or want to start companies that will employ people who have autism. We'll be right back. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
Hear All Sides with Ann Fisher, Fresh Air, On Point, and Talk of the Nation on 89.7 FM. Join us for news all day, every day on 89.7 or streaming at WOSU.org.
Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the Physicians Free Clinic and Voluntary Care Network, providing charity medical care for Central Ohio's uninsured patients. More about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation and supporting the clinic is at goodhealthcolumbus.org.
And it's 26 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:21 this morning. Some light snow today, a high of 28 degrees. There will also be areas of blowing snow and high wind gusts today. There's a slight chance of snow tonight, a low of 13 degrees. Clouds for Thursday and a high of 23. And snow flurries Thursday night, a low of 15. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides. We're talking about what we're doing in society to prepare for a big increase in people who will be able to work but also have autism or live with autism somewhere along that spectrum. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. We're particularly interested in people out there who do employ people who have autism. So you can also email us at allsides@wosu.org, or maybe you have autism yourself, or have Asperger's syndrome or something like that, and you want to give us a call and tell us about your experience in the job world. Again, you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to our Facebook page at All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joining us, well, let's listen to a clip right now from an HBO movie based on the life of Temple Grandin, an autistic woman who is now renowned for her studies in the field of animal science. This is the voice of her teacher from the movie, the first educator to recognize and encourage her unique talents.
You have a very special mind, you know that? Think of it as a door. A door that's going to open up onto a whole new world for you. Pick a subject.
Cows? Do they have colleges with cows?
Yes, they do.
That is slightly humorous, but it always touched me because it was somebody who recognized that there is a place in the working world for Temple Grandin, and there aren't a lot of places in the working world for people who have autism. Some people are out there trying to make them. So what are the jobs out there for people with autism? Few. Disabled people already are disproportionately unemployed. Tack on some of the characteristics associated with autism, and the well of jobs is even shallower. Some parents of people who are affected by autism have decided to create their own jobs, real jobs, making real money, providing real products for the real world. Joining us now is Doug Sharp. He's director of Lettuce Works, a fledgling nonprofit in New Albany. Doug is the father of a son who has autism and also attends Oakstone Academy.
That's right.
I believe. And welcome to the show, Doug.
Thank you, Ann.
I like the double entendre of Lettuce Works.
I'm glad you get it.
I finally, yesterday.
If you have to explain it, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Also with us, I hope, is Brenda Whiteberg. She's founder of Aspiratech and the mother of a child, an adult child, who has autism. Welcome to the show, Brenda.
Thank you so much for having me.
Doug, when did it occur to you that employment wasn't an easy option for your son, or that maybe employment was more of an option than you dare dreamed of when he was very young?
Well, he is still very young, actually. He's 10 years old. Okay. He's a student at Oakstone, and I know you're just interviewing Kristen, and a lot of the work that we've done really as a result of Oakstone and our involvement with the school. And as a board member there for a number of years, we started to realize that as the kids at Oakstone started to get older and get into high school and so on, parents were facing different issues, and especially as they thought about what happens after high school. And certainly a good percentage of kids are going to be very capable and move on to higher education, as Kristen described. But then there are a percentage that perhaps aren't ready to go because of social development issues and interpersonal skill development that still needs to occur. And then there are also kids that have a more severe disability and are going to need extra effort after high school and after they age out of high school, especially in order to make a transition from the school to work environment. So that's really where we started. We recognized that there was an issue. We spent quite a bit of time looking around to see what might be available. And there are there are programs out there. So when you think about ARC Industries and Goodwill Industries, there are good people doing good work today.
Sheltered workshop type situations.
For the most part, right. And so one of the things that really caught our attention was a model that is in Toledo called Bittersweet Farms. And one of the things we liked about it was the agricultural, rural kind of environment that they work in. It's not a factory. I'm not trying to be critical, but it was just it's someplace that all of us would really kind of look forward to working. And so we wanted to take that model and combine it with employment, because I think for the most part, a lot of the examples you'll find out there really are more about housing than employment today. And so we tried to marry those two models into Let Us Work, which is agricultural, but really about employment and job training and helping especially the high school age students make a successful transition from school into the work environment.
Now, you're not up and running your in process,
right,
but the overarching goal is to create many different kinds of jobs,
yeah,
that many different kinds of people can do.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. When we took this idea to OSU, in fact, and the Extension Office has been a terrific help, and we said, here's the idea in terms of this agricultural kind of flavor to the business, and here's the workforce, the labor force we want to work with, understanding that the skill sets are along the entire spectrum. You have kids, as Kristen described, that are very capable in math and science and chemistry, and then others that may be more challenged. And so we needed to be able to find work that would fit all of those needs. And they suggested to us a method of growing, which is called hydroponics, and not to go into too much detail about that. It's very technical. There's a lot of science and math and chemistry involved in that. It's also very productive. And so on a fairly small footprint of land, we're able to have enough production to support a lot of employment. And then in addition just to the growing itself, there are a lot of jobs in terms of sales and delivery and logistics and accounting and so on that we want all of the kids to get involved in. So unfortunately, when you talk about agriculture, the first thing that most people think of is the real basic labor that is involved. But it's just like any other business, really. There are all kinds of jobs within, and we want the kids to be involved in the entire range of jobs.
Brenda Whiteberg, I think we're practically celebrating an anniversary today.
Yes, we are.
It's been a year.
Yes, it's been a year since we actually started up and opened our office.
Tell us about Aspiratech. You're in Chicago.
Yes, we're north of Chicago. We're on a great train line that runs north and south, so people can get to us easily from either Chicago or southern Wisconsin. But east to west is a little more challenging, and you can't talk about employment without transportation and housing, but mm-hmm. our mission is to provide a path for higher functioning adults on the autism spectrum to realize their potential through gainful employment. And the way we found proof of concept with a Danish company called Specialist Turna, which was harnessing the strengths of autism, the focus, the memory, the tolerance for repetitive activities and routine, average to above average IQ, the logic, and they capitalize on these strengths to train and then employ adults in software testing. And I said, boy, if they can do it in Denmark, we can do it here.
Was software testing what they're doing in Denmark?
Yes, they're primarily doing software testing, but we don't see that. That's just where we're starting, similar mm-hmm. to Doug. We want to look at a range of skills, and even within the software testing field, there's a range. There's the higher level tasks and lower level. You don't need to know computer programming to be a successful regression tester. But I want to add to what Doug said, which thank you for your work and thank you for this program. You know, every individual is an individual. Each person is different. Mm-hmm. And the transition, whether it's out of high school or for our son, it was out of college, which took him 6.5 years, there is such a drop in services and opportunities. And it's like, then what? And along with it comes growing awareness of being different from your peer group and increased isolation. And we are actually seeing things we didn't expect to see, like high rates of anxiety and depression, which sometimes is hard to notice in people like our son, who may not, you know, express their emotions so easily. What we've also found is that the people we've trained and now employ pick up the work much faster than we ever dreamed. They're quick studies. And they need less accommodations than we expected to provide, which is quite amazing.
What kind of accommodations do you provide?
Number one is just an understanding environment. That's number one. That's the key. A place where it's okay to be quirky and where they are appreciated. And I saw a quote somewhere. Someone talked about learning disabilities, and they said that people with learning disabilities, that if you have the right person in the right job, they actually need little support than you expect. And that's what we're seeing at Spiritech. But we're very thankful. Autism Speaks just gave us a small grant. We'll be hiring a half-time autism specialist, you know, to provide more social opportunities and work with things like depression or timeliness, any issues that might arise. But we are seeing, and we saw it very quickly, we're seeing teamwork, initiative. My son is like one of the kids described by Dr. Miller. He's 31, and he was trained to be very dependent on adults and has very little initiative. We're seeing initiative. I mean, it's quite, and we're seeing great work. Our biggest challenge is to get enough companies to utilize our services so that we have a steady flow of work. Because as I think Dr. Miller said beforehand, schedule and change in schedule is so critical. So it's very important. That's our goal this year, is to build up so we can tell our testers, you know, be here from 10 to 4 every day and we'll have work for you.
Is one way to look at it, you know, when we think about getting a job and you say, well, what benefits come with your job? Instead of maybe an expense account or a car, you can say, well, there's a counselor there that can help me adjust to the job and help me work with the anxieties I have because I have autism.
Absolutely. But other benefits, you know, we think as neurotypical people, we think of job as, you know, the money, but the social milieu that comes, the structure to one's day, it is so critical to people, to everyone, including people on the spectrum. Very critical. Having a place to go, having meaningful work. My son was bagging groceries, and it was not a good fit with his very poor motor skills and lack of social skills. So I think another problem is the Department of Rehabilitation, at least here in Illinois, is not set up yet to work with people on the spectrum. So they place people in these bagging groceries, pushing carts kind of jobs where really social skills and the ability to multitask are highly valued and important. And they're not the strengths of people on the spectrum, whereas something like software testing really maximizes and utilizes their skills. With client after client, when they compare how many software errors our people find versus their own teams, we're usually at 150%. They find a lot more errors.
You're listening to Brenda Whiteberg. She and her husband.
It's
Whiteberg. She's the parents of a 31-year-old son with Asperger syndrome, an adult daughter pursuing her PhD studies at Stanford University. She founded Spiritech. It's a nonprofit agency in a suburb north of Chicago. It's been in business for a year now. It was created to solve the unemployment and underemployment situation of adults with Asperger syndrome and high-functioning autism like her son. Also with us is Doug Sharp. He is executive director of Let Us Work Foundation. They hopefully will be up and running in the next year or so. Doug and Brenda, too. Brenda, you brought up the issue of finding enough companies to utilize your services to get a steady flow of work. And Doug, in some of your literature, I noticed that you make this a pitch to them, that this is something you can tell. You're saying this to your potential customers. This is something you could tell your customers, that these are the sort of people that we're employing, and this is the sort of company that we're helping support.
Right. We spent quite a bit of time before we got even to this point doing some market research. One of the concerns I had was, if we build it, will they come in terms of the product? And so we went out and reached out to companies like Giant Eagle and other local grocery stores, restaurants, and so on, and said, here's the business model. And would you be interested in buying the product from us? And what we found out pretty quickly was that, first of all, there's a big demand for locally grown produce. Mm-hmm. So that piece of it's very appealing in itself. But when you tie that to the mission of the company, that we're helping job training and employment, offering job training and employment for young adults with autism, it's really a pretty easy sell. And so, frankly, we've had more interest in terms of buying the product once we get started than I think we can fulfill. One of the surprising markets that I hadn't even thought about that reached out to us were the local colleges and universities, because once they found out that what we had planned to do, certainly they have large food services and were very interested in sourcing local produce, and then they saw an opportunity to get involved in other ways as well through volunteers, either through their students or even some of the high schools have indicated interest in volunteering or offering volunteering opportunities for their seniors before graduation and so on. So we became less concerned about is there a market for our product, and then focused more of our effort on building the buildings and getting all that done.
Brenda, what about that idea of a mission? Is that something that a way that you appeal to potential clients out there?
Absolutely. And we have clients that really see the social purpose as a strong selling point to clients. It gets a little trickier if they are hired by another client to create software, and then they're subcontracting to us. Sometimes they're a little uncomfortable, more so working with a not-for-profit than saying that they're working with individuals.
Oh, really?
With autism, yeah. And most of this work, by the way, is outsourced to India and China right now. So we're doing a double. We're strengthening and keeping jobs here at home, and we're serving an underserved population that according to AFAA and Autism Speaks, will reach 500,000 individuals in the next decade or so.
Well, thank you for helping us out, Brenda Weitzberg. She is executive director of AspiraTech. It is a nonprofit agency in the suburb of North Chicago, and I appreciate you helping out today.
Thank you so much.
Also, I want to thank Doug Sharp. He's executive director of Let Us Work Foundation. Doug, thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much.
We'll, of course, have links to both of these organizations on our website at WOSU.org/allsides if you want some more information about them. Coming up after the break, Mark Ellison. He is associate director of the Autism Training Center at Marshall University in West Virginia. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
Dearest Mother, I'm about to embark on a great adventure. I have learned that Tom Chaney has fled into the wild, and I shall assist the authorities in pursuit.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Joel and Ethan Coen about writing and directing their new film, True Grit. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon on 89.7 NPR News. There are many ways to get the latest local news. Follow WOSU News on Twitter. Find WOSU on Facebook. Get headlines delivered to your email by subscribing to our Daily News Loop e-newsletter at WOSU.org/email. And weekday mornings, you can prepare for the day with NPR's Stephen Skeep and Renee Montaine, along with 89.7's Debbie Holmes. Listen to Morning Edition weekdays from 5 until 9 a.m. on 89.7 NPR News. 26 degrees in downtown Columbus, areas of blowing snow today and high wind gusts, a high of 28 degrees. There's a slight chance of snow tonight and a low of 13 degrees. Cloudy skies for Thursday and a high of 23. A few snow flurries Thursday night and a low of 15. And as we look ahead to Friday, a slight chance of snow, but still cold, a high of only 25. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides. We're talking about employment options for people who have autism or young adults on the autism spectrum, people with Asperger's syndrome. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Joining us now is Mark Ellison. Mark is the Associate Director of Training at the West Virginia Autism Training Center at Marshall University in West Virginia. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you, Ann. I appreciate the invitation.
Why a training center and why Marshall?
Well, the training center is a statewide organization that provides a variety of services to a lot of folks living on the autism spectrum, and it has since the 1980s. And in 2002, a young man who was looking for a good college with a good support program came to Marshall and started looking around at some of the support programs that were available on campus at the time, and they didn't really fit his needs. There was tutoring and there was support for any kind of learning disabilities on campus, but some of the real challenges in terms of the social aspect of his needs probably were not going to be met by those programs. So he and his father approached the West Virginia Autism Training Center, which is located on campus, and asked to create a program. We did, and it's grown since then.
What's the demand for this type of program?
And there's a tremendous demand. I think that since 2002, the number of applications we receive for our program every year just continues to grow. We receive anywhere from 75 to 110 applications a year from students who want to apply for the supports in our program. And we have a fairly small program, so it's a lot of folks who are interested.
How many can you support in a year?
We don't have a specific slot. I mean,
okay.
we have kind of an idea generally of how many students that we're going to support yearly. And once you become part of a program, until you decide that you're going to leave, we're going to support you until you graduate. But right now, we're supporting 33 students who are full-time students on campus. Living on campus, going to campus, going to classes in the mainstream.
They live in the regular dorms, and they are. There's not a special place where they live or anything like that.
No, that's right. We support them as they're living in typical dorms, going to typical classes, and living out a typical college lifestyle.
My guest is Mark Ellison. He's the Associate Director of Training at the West Virginia Autism Training Center at Marshall University in West Virginia. Questioners or comments are welcome, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. As far as the demand increasing every year since 2002, is it because you're becoming more well-known, do you think, or is it because there's more people out there with this need as, kids are aging out of the programs provided by the public sector? What's your sense about that?
My sense is, and it's only a sense, but my sense is that a very good and very appropriate early intervention programs have really helped this up and coming college generation be ready for college. 15 years ago, I don't know that I would have anticipated a college support program for this population. So this to me is really probably the result of those early intervention programs being very effective.
One of our guests in the last segment, Brenda Weitzberg, she's executive director of Aspiratech in the Chicago area, said that one of the challenges is that this is the sort of thing where you have to treat everybody very individualistically. They are definitely the proverbial snowflakes.
Oh, I would agree. I think it's easy to kind of assume that there are some common characteristics or common symptoms, if you want, and that you can kind of generally assume when you hear this diagnosis. But absolutely, how those characteristics or experienced are very individual.
In your model college program, you employ a, quote, positive behavior support, end quote, approach. What's that?
Well, positive behavior support is really kind of a framework, and when we're looking at the holistic lifestyle of the person, we're really looking at helping them develop and support them in developing skills that make their life more effective. So we're not managing behavior. We're not identifying a behavior problem, for example, and then necessarily trying to reinforce and shape that. We're really trying to help students learn skills that make their lives more effective and make the quality of their life better.
This week, the Ingram family the founders of White Castle committed to donating $10 million to the Ohio State University and Nationwide Children's Hospital to support research on the topic at these two institutions. It's going to be called the Marcy and Bill Ingram Research Fund for Autism Spectrum Disorders. And I'm wondering, in your case, at your point of contact, what kind of funding and what kind of foundations are out there that help you?
Well, they're rare. Our program is funded almost entirely by private fees. We do have a fee of $3,200 per semester, which helps pay for graduate assistants who form relationships and help the students stay organized for about a 10 to 15 hour per week schedule. But vocational rehabilitation, and that phrase is that term is called different things in different states. But the Division of Rehabilitation Services or Vocational Rehabilitation is a funding mechanism that's often used to pay these fees.
Now, $3,200 per semester, that's on top of living expenses and tuition. That's not cheap.
It's not cheap. When we developed our fee in 2002, there was really very little to base it on. We looked at some of the programs for supporting students with learning disabilities, and we thought that was a reasonable thing to compare it to. Since 2002, we've raised it by a whopping $100. I think our original fee was $3,100. But if you look at those specialized programs across the country that are supporting students with learning disabilities, and also now programs that are cropping up to support students with autism, it's still a fairly inexpensive fee.
Is there any way people can get grants or anything like that to participate? To be in this program?
There are grants that through typical college scholarships or college enrollments that can be used to pay fees. But again, I think the one funding mechanism that I suggest to parents is the vocational rehabilitation program. There, it's a program designed to really support individuals with disabilities as they enter the workforce. It's appropriate for this kind of program, and it's designed really for this.
And that's good until they're 21, or through the age of 21 usually?
We have students who are older than 21.
Okay.
Who are through the age.
All righty. 614-292-8513 if you have a question or comment. Lance from Columbus, you worked at a Goodwill with others who have autism. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. This was in Hawaii several years ago when I worked as a client assistant. I would pick the client up in the morning from his group home where he was fed and all his clothing and needs were met. And then during the day, I would go out to a work place, a produce company, where we would sort vegetables and then clean up. And I would work side by side with him throughout the day. And it was a humbling and enlightening experience.
Why humbling?
And Yes. Well, it's humbling. Yes, it made you appreciate your gifts and the gifts of everyone else. Everyone is gifted in some sort or another. And I thought maybe that the Goodwill throughout the nation has similar programs that are available for autistic people.
Yes, but Mark Ellison from Marshall University, when you're talking about college level training and education, that goes beyond manual labor.
Right, Mark? I think it does. In terms of supporting the students, we hire graduate assistants, and we generally try to find graduate assistants from like mental health counseling programs or psychology programs or education programs on campus, and who really develop very deep relationships with the students during their two or so years in graduate school, and out of that relationship comes a real decrease in anxiety, some real supports with organization, both academic organization and social organization, which here is are equally important. And I think one of your guests earlier really talked about the need for a safe environment in which students can feel comfortable, and out of that grows really positive things. That's our experience as well. Students here tell us to a person that the number one support that we provide is a very safe, very understanding environment where they don't have to worry about what people are thinking. They don't have to worry about what people are, when you struggle with reading body language, for example, mm-hmm. you often are always curious, what's that person thinking of me, or am I misreading that body language in such a way that I'm not sure what they want, and so those things don't have to happen here in a very safe environment.
Thanks to Lance for that call. Anita, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment. I'm a parent of two sons with Asperger's, and they're in their late 30s now. I live here in Columbus, Ohio, and there were no resources or hardly any when they were growing up, but we did find the Worthington Alternative High School program for them, and it sounds a little like what Mark Ellison is talking about at Marshall University. It was a place where they could feel safe, and their oddness, as it were, was no different from, you know, many of the other kids, even though most of those kids didn't have Asperger's, and they were able to get through high school because of this program. So I'm just so delighted to hear that there are new resources, particularly on the college level, to help these kids and help them, as you were just saying, Mr. Ellison, interpret social cues and things like that, which is their great weakness. So thank you for that, and I'm just so happy to hear about these things.
Anita, did you consider higher education for your boys?
They both, one finished college at Ohio State. He's a musician. The accommodation he needed was to take his tests in a testing lab so he could test longer, have longer for the tests. But he lived at home with us mm-hmm. while he did that. And the younger one took 10 years to get his associate degree, but he is now taking an online program in gaming and programming, which seems to be his gift. And I'm hopeful that will evolve into some employment for him. But they're both, you know, close to 40 now, and we're still working on this.
Well, thanks for your call, Anita.
Thank you.
Best wishes.
And I'd like to thank Anita as well. And I think her story is a common story. One of the things that I think in our program we're most proud of is the last few years we've developed a high school program where students who have finished their junior year in high school can come during a summer session here at the university, and for a much smaller fee than I mentioned earlier, live in a dorm, take a course that is of their choosing, and get the supports that I described earlier as they're doing it. And in our experience, the students really need a lot of practical understanding. You know, college is an incredibly different lifestyle. You know, no longer is anyone telling you when to go to class, or no bells tell you when to change classrooms. The culture of each classroom itself is often different, depending on the professor who teaches it. So it can be a complex society to be on a college campus. And so a lot of that practical experience as early as possible is really useful. And I'd be happy to talk to anyone after the show if they'd like to call and talk to me about the high school program.
We'll post a link to your site as well. And Anita, you are talking about Linworth, right?
I am, yes.
At Linworth Alternative High School in Worthington.
That was a great blessing for us and those kids.
All right. Well, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
We have just a few minutes left. My guest, Mark Ellison, he is Associate Director of Marshall University's Autism Training Center in West Virginia. You know, Mark, this isn't just about people with autism, but the training also includes families and educators. You have elements in your program for that. What do you do with that?
Well, the West Virginia Autism Training Center does provide assistance to and training to those in different programs. Our college support program, though, does really include families. For example, when a student enrolls in our program and in the university in the summer before they begin their classes, we sit down and do a very lengthy planning session where goals are chosen and the strategies that will help them arrive at those goals are selected. And in that is in that planning process are parents, sometimes extended family members, and if we can get them, professors from campus who want to come and participate. That doesn't happen as much, but it does happen. And because I think anyone who really understands this condition knows that a well-informed understanding community built around the person is the most helpful.
There are a lot of emphasis on internships now in college. Is that an aspect of your program?
It is, and it's something that we've really been developing the last two or three years in particular. We have a transition specialist whose role it is to right around the junior year of the student to start helping them find placements. If a student has a placement in his discipline, like student teaching, for example, we might help with that. But a lot of them don't. For instance, accounting doesn't mm-hmm. happen. So we help individuals through our relationships with local businesses get out and do some volunteer work, maybe 40, 50 hours over the course of the semester. Because often with the students we're supporting, it's not necessarily the work itself that's the challenge. It's the social aspect of being in a room. How do you interact with coworkers? How do you dress? How do you do water cooler talk? Those kinds of things are really what the students we support are lacking. So we do have those, yes.
Well, I want to thank you, Mark Ellison, Associate Director of the Autism Training Center at Marshall University in West Virginia. Thanks for joining us this hour.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
We've run out of time again. I want to thank everybody out there for listening. I want to also thank our crew in the All Sides Department. Alan DeCenzo is the composer of our theme music. The All Sides staff includes producer Linda Taylor, associate producer Amy Jurevich, student production assistant Jeff Steiner, WOSU radio intern Leticia Wiggins, and radio operations director Kevin Petrilla, and senior broadcast technician Eric French. Thanks to everybody. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.